good morning. This morning's shiur is being sponsored by Arturo Stern in memory of Moshe ben Avraham Shmuel ben Yamin, the couple Gadol Versat.
Says somewhere.
Kedusha
Sa'aret. Okay. Good.
The Gemara points out in Maseches Beitz and Daf Yud Zayin that Shabbos and Yontif represent two very different models of Kedusha. When it comes to Shabbos and Kiddush and Davening, the bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, that Shabbos, the Gemara tells us, is Kviya V'Kaima, it's fixed, it's set. Its Kedusha is really not dependent solely on Knesset Yisrael. Very different from that of Yontif. When it comes to Yontif, Yontif, of course, is rooted in a calendar date, and that is dependent on Knesset Yisrael, the Sanhedrin being Mekadesh the Chodesh, and therefore the Nusach HaBracha is Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has endowed us with Kedusha that allows us to be Mekadesh the time of Yontif. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and Kufnun Gimel stresses at very, very great length that Knesset Yisrael are Mekadesh the Yontif. It is our fulfillment of Yontif that makes it into Yontif. And therefore, this reflects two very different types of Kedusha. A Kedusha, what the Gemara tells us, which is fixed, is set, is Kviya V'Kaima, comparable to Shabbos. And at the same time, a Kedusha of Yontif, where we are the ones who are Mekadesh the Zman. And sometimes you find a fusion, a confluence of the two Kedushos as well. We're almost at the end of the Shemitah year. You know that the end of the year, we always assume, cancels debts. Shemitas Ksafim. There's a fascinating machlokis, however, between the Mordechai and the Yireim. The Gemara tells us in Gittin Daf Lamed Zayin that regarding Shemitah, the Torah tells us, V'zed Devar HaShemitah. And often in Shas you find that Chazal or Doresh, the word Devar, doesn't simply mean the theme, but rather it means Dibur, that some expression is necessary. And therefore, V'zed Devar HaShemitah means that when the Lova comes to pay you back that loan at the end of the Shemitah year, V'zed Devar HaShemitah means that the Malva should state, Mishamit Anibach, I hereby cancel the debt. And the obvious question is as follows: why is it necessary for the Malva to say anything at all? Isn't that true automatically, that at the conclusion of the Shemitah year, the loan is canceled? So why is it necessary to say anything at all, to make that statement of Mishamit Anibach? This is a question that the Mordechai raises. It's found Gittin Perek Dalet in Os Shin Pei. Why do you have to do anything more? Naturally, necessarily, the loan is canceled. So the Mordechai cites the Gemara in Nedarim and Daf Yud Gimel, that let's assume, for example, an animal gives birth for the first time. That animal now, which is born, has a kedushas habachor, a kedusha which is meirechem. And even though that's true, that it has an automatic, a necessary kedusha, nonetheless, the Gemara tells us that mitzvah lahakdisha, that it's a mitzvah incumbent upon the Baal HaBeima to say, harei zeh bechor. That's very unusual. I understand why I have to say this animal should be a chatos, this animal should be an ola, because without that declaration, the animal is a behemah schul, and it doesn't have a kedusha sagov. But here, where the kedusha necessarily occurs, it's born as a bechor, why do you have to say anything at all? So the Mordechai writes, that serves as a fascinating model, that although the kedusha is mirechem, nonetheless, a mitzvah lahakdisho. And that's not necessarily considered to be a contradiction. Sometimes we are called upon to reinforce, to reiterate that which already exists. And therefore the kedusha can be mirechem, but mitzvah lahakdisho. This is against the view of the Yireim. The Yireim writes in Reish Ayin Ches, a very, very great chiddush, that Shemitah does not cancel debts. The loans survive Shemitah. How can that be? It's not true. What do you mean it doesn't cancel the debt? No, the Yireim writes as follows. At the conclusion of the Shemitah year, the Torah instructs us, lo yigos, you're not allowed to pursue the loveh, And the Torah tells us, v'zeh devar hashmita, the malve is obligated to cancel the debt, but in principle, in choshen mishpa terms, the loan survives shvius. See, if I were to ask you the following, that the fact that after Shemitah concludes, you cannot go ahead and pursue the loan, would you place that in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat or in Hilchos Yeredeya? Does that mean the loan doesn't exist anymore? It's paka? And if, for example, the malva will come and seize the loan, he's guilty of Gneva or Gzela, it's not entitled? Or do we argue, no, that's not true. In Hilchos Choshen Mishpat terms, the loan exists, but the Torah in Iser Veheter poses an Iser to go ahead and to pursue the lova, and a mitzvah chiyuv that you have to say, v'zeh devar hashmita. Let's assume, for example, that shmita comes to an end, the lova enters my home and seizes assets. So I take him to Bezdin. What exactly is my claim? So according to the view of the Mordechai, my claim is gneva, gzela. According to the Reim writes this explicitly, that's not my claim at all. My claim is you, Bezdin, you can force him to put on tefillin. You can force a person to sit in sukkah, force him to fulfill the mitzvah of Ezeh Devar HaShmita. And the Reim writes that you have to go to a Bezdin that's capable of kfiya ala mitzvahs. This is not a question of choshen mishpat, but rather this is a question of iser v'heter. That's a fascinating machlokas between the Reim and the Mordechai. But that view of the Mordechai, that's not true, and choshen mishpat loan is canceled, but sometimes you're called upon to reinforce, just like Bechor, that the Kedusha is there, but a mitzvah lach disha. We once discussed in earlier shiurim, what exactly do you do when you make Kiddush on Shabbos? What exactly is the essence, the nature of the mitzvah of Zachris Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshah? The Rambam describes that as Zachriyo Zachiras Shevach. You have to praise, extol the Shabbos. The Ramban, in Aseret HaDibros, in Shmos Perachav, writes the mitzvah of Kiddush is to be Mekadesh the Shabbos. Just like Yovel. You know what's so difficult about that? Be Mekadesh the Shabbos. The Kedusha Shabbos is Kviyah V'Kayim. It's fixed, it's set. You know what the Ramban would apparently answer? That's not necessarily a contradiction. Even though a Kedusha is fixed and set, like Kedusha Sabachar, but nonetheless, a mitzvah L'Hakdisha. Sometimes we're called upon to, even though the Kedusha exists. So if that's true, Bechor, and maybe the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos, and the view of the Mordechai when it comes to Shemitah's Ksafim is a fascinating model of a confluence of two forms of Kedusha, where the Kedusha is Kviya V'Kayma, it's fixed and set, but yet a mitzvah L'Hakdisha. And this, I would say, one could segue into a discussion of Kedusha Sa'aretz. How exactly do we understand the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and our relationship to Eretz Yisrael, using these as models? Is it similar to Yontif, that it is something that we create, the Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim? Is it similar to Shabbos, that the Kedusha is considered to be that which is Kviya V'Kaima? Or maybe it's a fusion of two very different elements. On one level, the Kedusha Sa'aretz and our relationship to it is something which is fixed, it's something which is given. Already in Bris Ben Abasarim, Avram Avinu was told, Lazaracha Nasati Es Ha'aretz Azaz. Those two terms in Chumash are so revealing, Lazaracha Nasati, Lazaracha Nasati. Number one, the term Zera. Zera, what exactly does that mean? Zera is a technical term. There is a Tosos Nivamos, and the Chaf Beis and Beis that writes that there are two differences between the term Zera as opposed to the term Ben. Zera, Tosus writes, is something which is enduring. It's not limited to a single generation. Grandchildren can be referred to as Zera. Ben typically means a single generation. If you want to include subsequent generations, you need an indication from the Pasuk that is true. For example, that Gemara, the Tosos comments on Yevamos Daf Chaf Beis, what happens, for example, if a husband dies and there are no children, but there are grandchildren? Is there a mitzvah of Yibum? There were children who passed away, and now there are grandchildren. We know that there is no mitzvah of Yibum. But the Gemara question is, how do you know that? Because the Torah describes the mitzvah of Yibum, Uben Einla. So Ben normally means a single generation. Ben does not include grandchildren. So the Gemara has a ribui to tell us even Bnei Banim as well. The contrast, for example, a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Dalet, when it comes to a woman who's a Bas Kohen, who's married to a Yisrael, if, for example, her husband should die, and Vizera Einla, she can now go back to eating Truma from the house of her father. So there the Torah uses the term Zera. So Tosos contrasts the term Zera when it comes to Achilas Truma, the term Ben when it comes to Ibum. And Tosos points out two differences. One is that Zera means something which is enduring, like a seed. It endures. And Ben means a single generation. Tosos points out an opposite difference, that Ben means any child, whether it's Zera Kosher or whether it's Zera Pasul. Zera only means Zera Kosher, a seed that resembles its source, that is a continuity of. So Yitzchak, Kiv Yitzchak Yikarlacha Zara. Yishmael most often is referred to as Yishmael Bino. Yishmael is the Ben Avram and Yitzchak is the Zera Avram. That is enduring. The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin Daf Kuntes that that's evident in the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is given to the Zera of Avram, the Zaracha Acharecha, Zera Avram. So the Gemara tells us that means Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and their descendants, but Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Esav are not chayiv in the mitzvah of Bris Milah. They don't have the term of Zera. There's an amazing comment of the Rambam. It's tucked away, it's hidden in a Pirush Mishnayis in the Darim and Daf Lamed Aleph, where there the Mishnah tells us a person makes an eder. She'eini nehene lezera Avram. I will not benefit from Zera Avram. So Mishnah tells us he can't benefit from Jews, but he can benefit from non-Jews, because Zera Avram is a term for Jews. So the Rambam elaborates in the Pirush Mishnayis, how do you know that that's true? It's true. But is there any indicator that that indeed is true? The Rambam writes a fascinating raya. A fascinating raya. You know, you look through Chumash Bereishis, you see the ease with which Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmael were able to settle and to establish cities. They were able to conquer one area after another. You know, sometimes you wonder, that why does the Torah have to tell us all this, no? All the habitations, all the settlements, all the encampments of Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Esav. The Rambam writes so briefly the following. Wait, the Bris Ben Abisarim was Kiger Yezar Chaber Etzolahem Vavadu V'inosam Abami Yoshana. Avraham Avinu was told that your Zera is going to wander from place to place to place. It's going to take centuries until you settle. And all of a sudden you see the Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Esav settled with ease, with ease. The Rambam writes that every settlement is a clear, undeniable proof that they are not the Zera Avraham. That's the Rambam, no? Ram Pirush Mishnayis. Right? Nedarim and Daf Lamed Aleph. Because otherwise it contradicts the Bris Ben Abisarim. So the Torah records every single settlement as proof after proof after proof that they are not the Zera of Ram. And if Lezaracha Nasati, that means Knesset Yisrael, are given Eretz Yisrael. So Lezaracha, that's key, that's fundamental. And furthermore, Lezaracha Nasati, Yerushalmi writes in Maseches Chala, Lezaracha Etein Lo Nemar. But Lezaracha Nasati. Interesting. We would have thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, I promise I will. No, I have given in the past. Lezaracha Nasati Kvar Nasati. Kvar Nasati. Eretz Yisrael is already yours. Eretz Yisrael is Muchzekes. Muchzekesi. You know, that's what the Gemara writes, Bava Basar Kuf Yutes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was uncertain regarding the Yerusha, the right of Benos Tzlavcha. What exactly was the question? They didn't have any sons, so the daughter gets. What exactly was the issue? So the Gemara explains the issue really was as follows, that Slavchad was a Bechor, and Slavchad was entitled to Pishnaim of the Nechsei Chefer of his father. But Slavchad died before we entered Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Yerusha Sabachor, Pishnaim, the Pasuk says that a Bechor is entitled to Kol Asher Yimatzelo, anything that you possess. A Bechor only gets Pishnayim of Muchsak, not of Ra'ui. If, for example, someone owes a father money and it wasn't paid and he dies, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of that which is pending, only that which is actual, that which is actual. So Eretz Yisrael, what status did that have? The Gemara says Eretz Yisrael Muchzekesi. That was the psak that Vnoslavchad get what Slavchad would have received, namely Pishnaim in Nechse Hefer, even though that as of yet we didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Muchzekesi. There's such a Gemara of Avodah Zarah in Daf Nun Beis, where the Gemara has a stunning kasha. You know, we're told when we go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to come across, right, Asherah trees of Avodah Zarah. You have to go ahead and destroy them. So the Gemara questions, what do you mean? How did it become Avodah Zarah? What, the pagan idolaters used it for Avodah Zarah? You invite someone to your home, right, for a Shabbos meal. Well, all of a sudden, they bow down to your breakfront. No, you have to destroy it. You have to destroy it. Don't we apply the principle of Ein Adam Oser Dover Sheino Shalom? If it's yours, so you can determine. This is Kodesh, this is Chol, Rachman al Islam, this is Avodah Zarah. If it's not yours, what right do you have to say anything at all? You need Das Bailim. So if that's true, no such a kasha that the Gemara raises, how in the world could they argue that this is Shalom Avodah? It wasn't theirs. It wasn't theirs. We didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, but nonetheless, Lazara Chonasati. No, it's already ours, and therefore, what right do they have to go ahead and do so? You see already Eretz Yisrael Muchzekesi, and that, I will tell you, is critically important in the following sense. Before we even entered Eretz Yisrael at all, Eretz Yisrael was already considered to be ours. That relationship was already determined. However, I would tell you that one could not stop there. See, in that sense, it would seem to indicate that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Eini Hashem Elokecha Lo, and our relationship to Eretz Yisrael is something that is predetermined, independent of anything that we do. Similar in terms of our model to the Kedusha of Shabbos as opposed to that of Yantiv. But yet, no, the Torah tells us we're obligated to enter Eretz Yisrael, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The Rabban comments, the whole thrust of Sefer B'Midbar. Now, the reason Knesset Yisrael were counted in the very beginning of Sefer B'Midbar is for the purpose of Yerusha v'Yeshiva. And if not for the Chayit Tamaraglim, that would have occurred now immediately, no? And all of a sudden now it became necessary to delay. The presence of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is not just simply that this is an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, but more than that, it's part of the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael itself. The vast majority of mitzvot Hatzlius Baretz did not begin when we entered Eretz Yisrael, but only after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, which took years. One could ask, what does that have to do with Kedushas Haaretz? Isn't the Kedushas HaKarka that which necessarily exists? The answer is no, it requires Yerusha v'Yeshiva. The Rambam writes that we don't have Yovel Bizman HaZeh min HaTorah, and the Rambam so strongly implies that therefore Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only Drabanan, not because there isn't a sense of Kedushas Haaretz, but it requires all or a majority of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, l'chol yoshveh aleha, and therefore, if we don't have that, we can't have these mitzvos hatlios baretz. In other words, the presence of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is part of the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael. And in that sense, it's similar to the model of Yantif, of Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. The Knesset Yisrael are indeed Mekadesh. I will tell you that this apparently is the view of the Gaonim. You know, the Gemara discusses at length in Kedushin. If a person wants to go ahead and form any contract or Gittin or Kedushin which is al Tnai, Reb Meir requires that you have to make a Tnai Kafu. You have to say if then, but beyond that you have to say and if not, then not. You have to express both halves. If then, if not, then not. Tosus is bothered that when you look in so many cases in the Gemara, the language of Tanai does not seem to utilize a Tanai Kafu. The Gemara has, and Daf Mem Aleph and Sukkah. Let's assume, for example, I see there's someone who doesn't have Dalet Minim on Sukkahs. If I lend them my Dalet Minim for the first days of Sukkot, that's insufficient because we require Lachem, it has to belong to them. You know what? If I give it to them, that'll help, but you know, I want to make sure that I'm going to get it back. He's not going to take it and walk. So the Gemara says very simply, so give it to him as a matana. Amanas lahachsi. The Gemara tells us in Kedushin Dabav that you can have Hematana, it's yours, with the Gishon, that's return. So how do you do that? Very simply, I give it to you. The Gemara says, Amanas, Shetach Sarehuli, on the condition that you return it. The Tosfos says, Bad, that's not enough. You have to say, if you give it back to me, then it is yours. But you have to add, and if not, then not. If you don't give it back to me, it is not yours. And what's so fascinating is if you make an incorrect t'nai, the t'nai is batel and the maisa is kayam. That would mean that if you only express half of the t'nai according to a mayor, the little master gets his and he doesn't have to give it back to you. Because if you don't formulate the t'nai appropriately, the kinyan is still binding, but the t'nai is considered to be that which is batel. So if that really is true, how can the Gemara say just Amanah Shetach Sarayuli? That really is not enough. So Tosfos is bothered. When do you need a Tnai Kofu? When do you not need a Tnai Kofu? The Gemara, for example, discusses in Kedushin, Daf Mem Tes. That's what Tosfos is commenting on. A person goes ahead and sells his home because he intends to make Aliyah. All of a sudden his plans fall through. Right? So he goes to the seller and says that, you know, the seller goes to the buyer and says, you know, like, I only did so because of my plans. They fell through. Mekach Taos. So the Gemara says, no, Dvarim Shebelev, Einon Dvarim. That's the sugya. You should have stated that. You should have stated that. So Tosfos is bothered. Stated that. Stating that's not enough. Even if I would have said, I'm selling you the house because of my plans to make Aliyah, I have to say more than that. And if not, then not. So when do you require a Tanai Kofa? When do you not require a Tanai Kofa? That's Tosus's question. So Tosus quotes the view of the Gaonim that says the following. You know what? It depends. When it comes to areas of Isser Veheter, Gittin, Kedushin, that's when you require. That's when you require a Tanai Kofa. Isser Veheter. When it comes to simply matters of Dinim Amanos, dollars and cents, buying and selling, you don't require it's naikofu. So if you're giving a get al tnai, a case of a get shchiv meira, a person is deathly ill, and he doesn't want his wife to be an almana, he would prefer that she be a grusha, because let's assume they have no children, and if she is an almana, now you have to have yibum or chalitza. So he goes ahead and gives her a get, it's a get al tnai, that if a person dies, then the get should be chal immediately prior to his death. But if not, this get is not considered to be a get at all. So the Gemara says you need a tnai kofel for gittin, you need a tnai kofel for kedushin. So Tosfos writes, yes, it's true when it comes to iser veheter, yishus, isurim. But it's not true when it comes to a case of dinim amanos. So Tosfos is bothered by an obvious difficulty. How can that be? The whole source of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is Chalukas Haaretz. That's the source of Tanai Kofo, the division of Eretz Yisrael. That's Dinim Amanos. So how can you argue that in Dinim Amanos you don't require a Tanai Kofo when the source of Tanai Kofo is a distribution of assets? How can that possibly be? So, you know, if you look, for example, the Rashbam and Baba Basra, the Rashbam writes that you're right, this sheet of the Gaonim is not really a sheet of. It's just a compromise. In other words, technically, we don't require a Tanai Kofel. We don't paskel like Rav Meir. So when you buy and sell something, you can rely on the sheet of the Chachamim. You're giving a get, right? Or you're marrying, you know, the stakes are so high, Eish Asish, Mamzerus, and the like. There you should be chayish even for the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir always required, the Chachamim never required, but practically speaking, you know what? Don't get married as a machlokas tanaim. Okay, get married l'chol hadeos. Don't divorce a machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So when it comes to areas of iser v'heter, so therefore do it in a way that everyone would agree. When you're going ahead and purchasing an item, you don't have to be as careful. That's how the Rashbam understood. But from the Gaonim, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like this is really a shita, not just a compromise, a real shita. But how can that be that in areas of Isser Veheter you do require Dinu Amnus, you don't, if the source is Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven? That just seems to be as follows. You're right, the source is Yerushas Haaretz. But as we pointed out, Yerushas Haaretz is not just Dinei Mamanos. It's not just a division of property. It's so much more than that. It's Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the Kedushas Haaretz. And the Gaonim were of the opinion that the reason that it was necessary to have a Tanai Kofel was not because of the Mamon Sheba, but rather because of the Isser Sheba, because that aspect of Tosefes Kedusha. Because the Gonim pointed out that, look, we see repeatedly in Shas that Din Manos does not require a Tanai Kofel. So it must be it's because of that area of Isser Veheter, that Bnei Yisrael, division of Eretz Yisrael, that's not just relevant in terms of Dini Mamonos, no? The Mikdash was partially in Chelkol Sheh Yehuda, partially in Chelkol Sheh Binyamin, not in Dini Mamonos Shabbat, but rather in terms of the Kedusha of, and it's because of that element that it's true. There is a Raivid in Shita Mekubetzes, in Baba Basra, Kuf Chaf Aleph, that points out, you know, there seem to have been two methods of division of Eretz Yisrael. On the one hand, they used to draw lots, Bagorel. On the other, they needed the Urim Vitulim. You know, apparently, the Rabbin indicates there were two dimensions to the division. If you're talking about just a monetary division, you can draw lots. Why is it necessary to have Urim Vitulim, the Ruach HaKodesh? No, that's indicative of the Kedusha Sheba. That this was not just simply a division of any land, but the division of Eretz Yisrael was part of the Mekadesh. And therefore, the two elements of Kedushas Haaretz, Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, the Yerusha v'Yeshiva, that no doubt was absolutely vital, absolutely necessary in order to go into Mekadesh, Eretz Yisrael itself. So the presence of Knesset Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is part of that which creates and generates that sense of Kedushas Haaretz. Eretz Yisrael, a fusion, a confluence of both, a Kedusha which is Kviya V'Kaima, but also that which is Mekadesh Yisrael. The Ramban points out that that's part of the tragic fate of the Meraglim, because after all, at this point in time, Bnei Yisrael would have entered Eretz Yisrael. And what exactly was, you know, the chet HaMeraglim? The Ramban points out, it's so clear, that the fact that you send scouts, that is not considered to be a chet. How can that be a chet? Isn't that part of the hishtadlos, that one has to wage war and conquer responsibly? And therefore, that is part of the typical process. It would be irresponsible to do so without. The Raman points out, if sending the rag was a chet, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was a player in this grievous chet. You look a little bit later, the very end of Parshas Chukas, Moshe Rabbeinu again sends Meraglim for the city of Yazir to conquer it. What do you mean if sending Rang was such a chait? How could that be repeated? Yoshua, the very beginning of Sefer Yoshua, sends out Meraglim again to go ahead and to scout out Eretz Yisrael. Obviously that is not. The Ramban points out that the chait was not the fact that the Meraglim were sent, but it was their response. No? That Risham Haya B'milas Efes. They came back and said, this cannot be done. This is beyond our reach. And I would argue as follows, that indicated a further disconnect. You know, it's always important, right, in life, to recognize what your mission is and what, in fact, the challenge is. When the Meraglim came back, and they responded that we cannot, it was clear that if you were to ask them, what was the purpose of your mission? You were sent to... Apparently, their mindset was we were sent to determine whether or not we would be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Lazarach HaNasati, V'horashtim es aretz v'yishavtim ba. In other words, that they were going to pass judgment on the viability of the Dvar Hashem, that which the Torah tells us. Is it possible? Can it be done? And sure enough, the answer was no. That was not their job description at all. But rather, they were told to scout out Eretz Yisrael in order to implement the Dvar Hashem. Not to determine whether the Dvar Hashem is viable, whether it's realistic, whether it's practical, whether it can be done. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, then that's a given. Our hishtadlus is to simply implement the Dvar Hashem. Now the Gemara tells us in Brachos and Gimel Amud Beis, that Knesset Yisrael came to David HaMelech and said that, you know, that Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa, no, that Knesset Yisrael don't have sustenance. So David HaMelech said, if that's true, let's conquer. Pishti Adeichem Bigdud, let's conquer land in order to be able to do so. The Gemara says, Miyad Yoatzem B'Achitofel. All of a sudden they consulted Achitofel. That seems a little odd. David HaMelech said, do. And all of a sudden now they asked Achitofel, what do you think? So you look in Rashi. Rashi is explicit. David HaMelech said to do. They consulted with Achitofel, not whether yes or no, but rather, okay, Ketzad, now let's develop a plan to implement that which indeed we were told. There's an essential difference between implementation of as opposed to casting a judgment on the viability. If the Torah tells us that this is what we are obligated to do, so our hishtadlus is just simply not if, not whether we do it, but rather how we accomplish that particular goal. And therefore there was a clear disconnect on behalf of the Meraglim. It's an important Musar Haskel in that way. You know, there's a beautiful comment of the Chassam Sofer and his Hakdama to the Tshuvas, a theme mentioned by the Sfas Emes as well. You know, what was the mindset of the Meraglim? You know, like, why would they not have eagerly embraced the possibility of entry into Eretz Yisrael? Why did they feel that remaining in the Midbar somehow was even an option? So, you know, if someone were to ask that, you know, why is it difficult for us to be Mitzapel Yeshua? Part of the answer, maybe a main part of the answer is because, you know, we live in a galus of chesed where we have every opportunity, and it's hard when you have every opportunity to see beyond that. You know, the plight of Knesset Yisrael in the Midbar was one where they were accompanied by Anane HaKavod, and they were handed the man each and every day. They had the be'er. You know, when you're living in a climate of such nisim, of man, be'er, Anane HaKavod, it's not so easy to walk away from that seemingly idyllic existence. After all, that Hinei Amamti Lachem Lechem Min HaShamayim, it's hard to walk away from that, especially as the Torah describes here in the Shabbos is Kriya Satorah, that Vayamachocha Milechem Haaretz, to be given Lechem in Hashamayim and to work toward Lechem Haaretz is not something that's so easily done. What's wrong with maintaining that seemingly idyllic existence of being surrounded by Nisim and Osos and Hashkachas Hashem, of Anani HaKavod and Man and Be'er? Sometimes it's hard to walk away from that. Undeniably, that was the reality in the Midbar, but that was not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded of us as a sustainable way of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired that, no, we would enter Eretz Yisrael, we would work the land, and use that as a basis of Tosefes Kedusha, not just simply to subsist off of the man, the be'er, and the anani hakavot. One can understand the difficulty in doing such. You know, if you look toward the end of the parsha, the Torah gives us a series of mitzvos. You know, here one could suggest that also, no doubt, is linked. You know, a person has lechem in hashamayim. What could be better? No. All you have to do is just go out and gather. Now, what's wrong? What's wrong? No? The Torah tells us, none of the parsha, that no, there's a mitzvah of Afrash Eschala. The mitzvah of Afrash Eschala is not lechem min hashamayim. It's v'hayavachochem ilechem ha'aretz. Now, recognize that even if you toil, that's an opportunity. You could go ahead and utilize that to be a source of Tosefes Kedusha. You will be given the privilege of a Hafrash Eschala that up until now, not necessarily. There's an advantage to your involvement, your Hishtadlus, your Amelus, because you can take that which otherwise is mundane and elevate it toward the Hafrash Eschala. And therefore, the mindset that the man is the ideal and that Lechem Aretz is a terrible pushback position is not necessarily true at all. This will allow you to elevate an opportunity of Afrash Eschala. You know that You're concerned. You're protected by the Hanane HaKavod. And that will come to an end, right? When you enter Eretz Yisrael, yes, but the very end of the parsha, the Torah gives us a mitzvah of tzitzis. And isn't the very purpose of tzitzis that a person can wrap, a person can surround and envelop himself with all the mitzvahs Hashem, orisim also, zechartem? Now, isn't that the essence of what talis and tzitzis are supposed to represent? And that one could suggest is connected to Hanane HaKavod. In that sense, that even without the overt Hanane HaKavod, through the very clothing that one wears, a person can embrace that element of Tosefes Kedusha. And the Be'er, yes, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you water. But you know what? You'll enter Eretz Yisrael, you'll build a Beis HaMikdash, an opportunity to order Nisachim, and to offer Nisach HaMayim, Nisach HaYayin, right? That which, typically speaking, could be seen as otherwise mundane can be elevated in a sense of Tosefes Kedusha. And therefore, part of the lesson is the sustainable mission of Knesset Yisrael is to elevate, to be Mekadesh, that which otherwise could seem as though it's chol. And that you really can't find in the Midbar, where one is being sustained simply through Lechem in Hashamayim. And I've often commented, when we look in the Gemara in Shabbos and the Peches and the Beis, the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Yisro, you know, there the Medrash, the Gemara, describes the debate of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. That Moshe Rabbeinu ascends to Shamayim to receive the Torah Hashem, and all of a sudden the Malachim say, Tein Hod Chal Hashamayim, that why in the world should the Torah Hashem be lowered and given to man on this earth, right? There's something that should be that which is Bashamayim. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu arguing that no, that what do you mean? That obviously the Torah Hashem is given to us. Now, the mitzvah of Kibra Ve'eim to Malachim, obviously, that's for Bas of Adam here in this world. Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Signaf, obviously for Bnei Adam, who could possibly engage, be tempted in order to go ahead and to do so, not for the Malachim in Shamayim. And aren't those indicators that, yes, of course, the Torah Hashem is indeed given to us? I would just comment as follows. You know, you find in the Gemara that sometimes the Gemara puts forth an argument. The Gemara can put forth a Kal Vachomer. The Gemara can tell us, no, we reject that Kal Vachomer. How do you reject the Kal Vachomer? A person puts forth a logical assertion and you reject it. You can reject it in one of two ways. This is very important in terms of details of sugyas. Sometimes you can reject a Kal Vachomer with a yochiach. And sometimes you can reject a Kal Vachomer with a pircha, me'ikra dedina pircha. What exactly is the difference? Sometimes the Gemara will say, you know what? You're arguing A. I will introduce case B that will show you that that is not true. No, that's what we call a yochiach. No? You have a Kal Vachomer, you're attempting to maintain A. I will prove to you from another case that there's some flaw in your reasoning. Right? That's an external proof. No? A yochiach. Sometimes the Gemara says, you don't have to look elsewhere. No? You don't have to come on to case B. No? But rather, me'ikra dedina pircha. There's something which is inherently flawed in your reasoning, even without introducing any other case at all. You can reject the cogency of an argument either externally, secondarily, tangentially, that you see from another case that this is not true, like Akasha, or one could argue, no, that's not the case, Mi'ikra Dedina Pircha, there's something which is inherently wrong with that argument itself. No, it's important always to know that, because Tosos points out there are differences between a Yochiach and a Pircha. Obviously, a Pircha is a much stronger argument. Now, if I say that your logic inherently is flawed, that is more significant than just raising a question from somewhere else that maybe you can argue, oh, that case is different, and that case is not necessarily relevant to our discussion. You know, with that framework, and just in terms of structure, Sarah will tell you the following, that, you know, the Malachim say, right, that the Torah Hashem is ours, it belongs in Shamayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that's not true. You see from Kibud Av V'Em, you see from Losirtzach, you see from Losigno, that's true. Is that a yochiach or is that a pircha? No? See, I would argue, it's not just simply yochiach. Yochiach means as follows. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll show you a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, Kibud Av V'Em. How do you as Malachim fulfill a mitzvah, Kibud Av V'Em? Isn't it obvious from that case that that is not true? Okay, that's like a yochiach. Maybe a malach will have a teretz to that kasha, no? But that's a kasha, kasha. I would argue that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. That was mikra didina pircha, mikra didina pircha. You see from the kopis of the mitzvah Hashem. You see from kibra ve'ein, or from the Isra of Gezel, or from the Isra of Etzicha, that the essence of the Torah Hashem is to be mekadesh, mekadesh the chol. To take relationships of kibra ve'em, to take interpersonal relationships, to govern what you eat and how you dress and how you act, that the entire thrust, the mission statement of the Torah Hashem, is to elevate that level. And that type of elevation, to take a simple relationship, an amla chavero, even a relationship of a parent and a child, and elevate it to a tosefes kedusha, that by its very essence and nature is something that can only apply to man, and that is something that malachim are incapable of doing at all. A malach is, now last Shabbos is kriyas haTorah, no? An omeid, ben ha'omdim ha'ela. A person is a holech, where a person can ascend. A malach cannot do that. So if the mission statement of the Torah is that type of growth and ascension, to be able to take, right, yayin in mayim and elevate it to nesachim, to take begodim and elevate to mitzvah tzitzis, to take sustenance and elevate that toward a tosefes kedusha of afrash eschala, by definition, that is only true when it comes to Adam and not when it comes to Malachim and Shamayim. And therefore the arguments of Moshe Rabbeinu were Mikra Dedina Pircha, not just simply I'll show you a mitzvah where you're going to have difficulty fulfilling that mitzvah, but rather the mission statement of, that's part of the contrast of the Dor HaMidbar and those who entered Eretz Yisrael. The sustaining mission of Knesset Yisrael is to embrace Tosefes Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha, but you have to be Mekadesh. That Tosefes Kedusha is necessary. Of Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And that, by definition, can only be a mission statement of Bnei Adam, not a mission statement of Malachim in any shape or form. And therefore, that was not just a raya, but by definition that was true. Mikra Dina Pircha, in order to demonstrate. After all, that's exactly that the Torah Hashem is lo bashamayimi. It's self-evident from almost every one of the mitzvahs Hashem that this is not something that is relegated bashamayim to a malach who's incapable of that investment and growth in terms of that element of tosefes kedusha. So in that sense, that kedushas haaretz really is a fusion of two different tears of Kedusha. It begins with Mizarach HaNasati, even before Yerusha V'Yeshiva, but undeniably, Yerusha V'Yeshiva is part of the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael. And just like, for example, the Mordechai would argue that Shemitas Ksafim is a fascinating model of a dual Kedusha, just like the Gemara Nedarim Daf Yud Gimel, a Kedusha Savachora, but a mitzvah La'akdisho, the Ramban of the Kedusha of Shabbos, the Kedusha is fixed, Kriya V'Kaima, but a mitzvah of Kiddush to be Mekadesh this man. The same thing to Lishu when it comes to Kedusha Saretz, that Eini Hashem Elokechava, but at the same time, that Mekadesh Yisrael, that our fulfillment of mitzvah Satliyas Baretz, our presence in Eretz Yisrael, is not just simply an opportunity to be Mekayim more mitzvah Satara, but rather it's an opportunity to be Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, similar to those models, a fusion, a confluence of a twofold Kedusha similar to that of Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Is that why you're acquired Dibor by
Shemitah Sofer? Right, both are right. That's the Mordechai, right.
That's why you're acquired that.
Right. You have to do some of those.